Episode 196, May 18th, 2015.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
There is no off position on the Genius Switch.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Hey, this is the Racist Rob and Racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
This is NBC.
The David Letterman Show Live with Edwin Newman with the NBC News and Frank Owens of the David Letterman Symphony Orchestra. Plus, David's guests, comedian Steve Martin, evangelist Ruth Carter Stapleton, Rich Hall, and Small Town News. And now, a man who thinks yodelers should have their own museum, David Letterman!
Yes, that was brought to you by producing legend Robbie Robinson. Good evening, everybody. What a week in the world of Rob and Joe and Nobody Likes Onions and of Daniel Ninen. I think we won, Joe. I think it's over. I think we won.
Well, I tell you what I was the most impressed with, because our listeners are so fucking stupid. I'm actually impressed with Patrick's listeners, because that Reddit post came out, and then I looked at the comment section, and everyone got it. Like, every single comment got it. Normally, like, if you read our chat, they don't get everything. About every other person doesn't get it. Our most loyal listener, Eric the Actor, doesn't get it. Chris Restivo, our second most loyal listener, doesn't get it. Our people don't even get it.
Our listeners get it, but the listeners who are in chat, they're not representative of our listeners.
Okay, I'm sorry. Our chat room listeners.
Half of the chat is there just to shit on over us. They hate us. They don't like us. They think they're basically Ninens. They think we're failures, and they prefer to bash us than to actually add anything to the show. Occasionally, they'll say something funny while bashing us, and that's good. But usually it's just nonsense, and they usually miss things. But I think our listeners, the people that are out there listening on iTunes and Stitcher and downloading and on robinjoshow.com, those people get it. For calling our listeners idiots, Joe.
Let me read some of the names in chat.
It is good tonight in chat.
Bob Schimmel's Ghost. High merch profit margin. That's a good one. We got Obama Unfriended Dan.
Yeah, it's a tough break for Dan.
We got Pants on Fire. That's a good one.
Somebody
High
lying.
Chart, Talking in Circles, Thirsty Dan.
Yeah, if you listened to last week's show, of course, we called Dan. Didn't think he would answer. He would answer. He did answer. And then the marathon session happened on Nobody Likes Onions. I implore you to listen to it. Is that the word, implore? Please listen to it. It's long, but it's worth every second. Dan was live in studio with Patrick in New York. They're side by side. Joe called in for about 90% of it. I called in for the last half. And Mark Maron chimed in on Twitter. Basically, you know, it was a bloodbath for
now,
Dan.
Tell me if I'm wrong about this, because I listened back. And I don't know legally, I don't know if he's obligated legally, but I said to Dan during the interview that if it proves that that wasn't him, I'll quit comedy.
Yes.
But if it proves that it was him.
By wasn't him, you mean if he wasn't the guy that emailed Marc Maron.
Exactly, right.
Offering to pay him lots of money to go on his podcast.
And if it was him, then he had to quit and he said, okay. Is he under any obligation? Could I take that somewhere and get his corporate gigs?
I think technically, anyone could email and say they're Dan Ninen. I don't know why you would do that. So I suppose that's the one thing he's holding on to, is that someone was being an imposter and was posing as Dan and emailed Marc Maron. I don't know why you would do that. But the thing that's really damning is Russell Peters, when he went on Joe Rogan's show and talked about this psycho that kept showing up to his shows, he references it's the same guy that was emailing Marc Maron. So Marc Maron thinks this is Dan Ninen, and Russell Peters is saying that's the guy that did this to me, which Dan is still denying.
Now, if somehow, because, he's so good at kind of worming his way out of this. Because, by the way, what good does it do Russell Peters to identify Dan Ninen by name? Nope. Nothing good can come of it. Dan Ninen is nobody, still right? Above.
Yes.
And Russell Peters is a mega star, and all it can do is create problems for him. So that makes sense that he wouldn't name him by name.
Right. Makes no sense from the name.
But if Marc Maron produces that email, and that email is from Dan Ninen's email address, that can't be an imposter, right? Somebody hacked into Dan's computer. What's his accusation going to be at that point?
I'm 74 and I'm gay.
Yeah, that was one of the best moments of the show, is that you did the ultimatum that if it proves that wasn't Dan, that you would quit comedy. And if it proves that it was, he would quit comedy. He agreed to it. And then, an hour later, Marc Maron, the NLO fans, they're awesome. They went on Twitter. They tweeted at Mark, and he said he admitted that's according to him, that was Dan Ninen emailing him the emails that he read on his podcast. So I don't think Dan's going to be quitting comedy, though.
Do you think Dan is so – I wonder if Dan is so deluded that he left that interview thinking, I did it. I got him. I proved myself.
He's still emailing us. He's all the things that we aren't disagreeing with, he keeps emailing us to try to prove them. It's like, we're stipulating that, yes, you worked with Russell Peters. You don't need to prove it. It's fine. But he keeps, these are contracts. This is show dates. This is a club we were at. This was a website. We're not denying that you work with him. Stop sending us this stuff. But, Dan, I don't want to argue. I want to have fun with you. And Joe had a brilliant idea before the show. And I want you to come on the air. And this is all in fun. If you're a listener of the show, you know about the Scott Apple Music Quiz. Scott Apple is a guy that Joe works with. He's a guy that we like. He's a quirky, kind of a weird guy. He has zero knowledge for music. He's never heard Purple Rain. He doesn't know Man in the Mirror. He doesn't know Green Day from Stevie Wonder. You can't know less about music. Well, Dan is like
that
with
TV. Can I
interrupt
for a second before you continue? One thing about Scott, though, is he gets himself. He knows it's hilarious that he's never heard of the Eagles, right? That's funny. So I said to him the other day, I said, hey, for our 200th episode, would you be willing to do another quiz? Now, he knows this happens at his expense.
Right.
But he said, yes. Well, he doesn't care about being on this stupid show, but he does it because he gets himself and he knows that it's funny. So anyway,
and we love Scott Apple for that. That's what makes him awesome.
Of course. But
Dan doesn't watch TV, and he's very proud of the fact that he doesn't watch TV. And if you do watch TV, he points that as a weakness. You could be doing more with your time, which is fine. Or movies, for that matter. So why don't we have the TV quiz with Dan Ninen? We'll play, George Costanza. The sea was angry that day or whatever,
Or which one of these, Happy Days characters isn't real? Which one of these characters wasn't on Happy Days?
Right.
We'll do Potsy, Ralph Mouth, Vinny Barbarino, and the Fonz and see if he can get it.
Right.
The only problem is that Dan, he takes such pride in not knowing that I think he would throw it to be like, yeah, of course I don't know who Potsy is. You follow? I mean, I think he's so unaware of himself that I think that he would... I don't think we'd get a genuine answer.
He also might try to be funny, which would make it unfunny.
Yeah, that's true. If he tries to be funny, it won't work.
But Scott just gave his answers, and then that which naturally was funny. But Dan might try to make it funny and ruin it. But I think if Dan, we want to do it, it'll be fun. We don't need all this, tension. We can move on. I think that, Robbie, will that work?
I'm having my doubts.
Now that we're explaining it, it's starting to sound less likely.
I'm seeing all the holes in it.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, you know, Dan, after the show, right? Really, an olive branch wasn't really extended. But it was almost like, dude, what's your problem? What's your fucking problem? Like, why do you care so much? Why do you do this? And I thought he'd feel a little stupid, right? Like, okay, yeah, this is dumb. What am I doing? I'm 83 right. years old, and I'm torturing these guys. You know what I mean? I thought he would think that. But no, I've probably gotten more emails than I've ever gotten, and they're the exact same. Nothing has changed. He's still talking about going on auditions. By the way, it's so funny. He referenced an audition in the show that in the NLO show that he was going to, where they were looking for somebody late 20s, early 30s. And he said, hey, look, I'm going on this audition. And Patrick was almost like, well, why are you showing me an audition that you might go? Why, what is this? And sure enough, this mother effer, the next time he sent an email, he cut and pasted the details of that audition and sent it to us.
I'm going on an audition where they're looking for an 18 to 24 year old black woman. Does that make me a black woman who's 19 years old? You can just show up to an audition if it's an open audition, Dan. But whatever.
In chat, they're talking about him being like, this could be like Serial, like trying to figure out. But I don't know. Nobody's really on the fence about whether or not Dan is full of shit, right? Everybody knows it.
Well, I've said it before. Like Dan Nine in documentary, if as long as he was willing to just be candid and open and talk, or just be who he is, that would be fascinating.
Yeah, I think I talked about this before, and we were talking about the Rob and Joe Show drinking game, which we'll bring up. But the I think it was called The Woman That Wasn't There. It was a documentary about a woman that pretended she was in one of the Twin Towers during 9/11. She wasn't even in the country at the time, right? But it would be fascinating to follow Dan around and eventually expose him. But the problem is, I think about the people that could really embarrass him the most, the Mark Marons of the world, the Russell Peters, the, you know, Robert Schimmel's brother. What's his name? What's Robert Schimmel's brother's
Jeff,
name?
Jeff
right,
Schimmel.
Jeff Schimmel. And they probably are like, well, what? There's no benefit
no.
to me to do this, right? And as a result, which is actually better, because if it just came out that they just came out and said, yeah, that's Dan Nine, and well, then it would be over. You know what I mean? And he would have to.
No, it wouldn't.
You think that he would be like, we think you tell those guys they were full of shit.
Yes.
Well, we did agree on the show, and Dan has to follow through to do, we'll all do a show together, a comedy show. And it'll be for charity. It'll be, you know, the two of us, Patrick Melton, Nick Mullen, J.L. Covan, Andy Klein possibly. And of course, Dan, and it'll all be for charity. We're totally on board with that. If we're going to try to make it happen, I'm doubtful Dan will follow through.
But honestly,
Dan, let's do it.
I mean, here's the thing that Dan said. He goes, hey, you just fill it with your fans. Well, no, we'd fill it with people that bought tickets. Whoever bought tickets. Believe me, if we could just get people to buy hundreds of tickets, we would obviously surpass Dan in terms of our gross income, right? If we could just right. go somewhere and just fill up a 400-seat venue with our fans. But it doesn't necessarily work like that. But yeah, you're right. If myself and you and Patrick and JL and Nick and Andy Klein and Dan, if we all got together, I think a lot of people would come out to see that show, I'm sure.
Well, that's a great show, by the way, just on its own. That's a really good lineup.
Well, it's 7/8 is great, but yeah.
I want to bring up something that nobody's brought up. Norm Wilkerson is in chat, by the way. Nobody talked about his great website.
Yeah, Norm has the best, LOL Dan Nine, and the best, the great Dan Nine and historian that Norm Wilkerson is. It's a must read for all you. Is there a name for like Nine and fans? Like you got Beliebers for Justin Bieber.
Yeah, unicorns. That's what they call Dan Nine fans. You know what? I'm reading in chat and they're right. What pissed Dan off the most was when I said that story didn't happen.
Yes.
Now, but can I just say this? It didn't happen. It didn't happen.
Well, here's let's why. Reference what you're talking about.
Well, okay. So he tells a joke where he says that they're driving by a field and they see a cow.
He and his parents.
He's with his parents, okay? And he says, and the father, and he does his Indian accent, says, you know, that cow's grazing. Graze is a word that can have many meanings. By the way, what is this, the worst fucking conversation anyone's ever had in their entire life?
That sounds like the most forced, unreal conversation ever.
So anyway, but the point is that, believe me, I'm sure that he's had awful conversations with his parents like that. But he said, this is 100% true story. Well, when he tells the story, he goes on to say, yes, like Dick Cheney can graze you with a bullet. Well, that happened in 2006.
Right.
So he said the story happened when he was a child. Obviously, he's even if it's there's parts that are true, it's obviously hyperbole to make a joke. That was the only point that I was making. And he literally lost his shit. But it's not 100% true story. Yeah. I just don't think. By the way, Dan Ninen doesn't know what 100% true means. So he knows
what 100% clean means.
He finally was telling the truth, or in his mind he was, so he got outraged. By the way, it was funny because when he would get caught with something, he was very, and I didn't do that. He was very subdued.
Yes.
But you did bring up the guy who he was accused of having a fight with Chris Berelick. What was that guy's name?
Is Kabir Singh. He's an Indian comic in L.A., and apparently Dan was trying to, I don't want to tell the story again.
Well, anyway, the point is that I actually believe that didn't happen.
Well, no, because I messaged this guy. I said, it's my understanding you once beat up Dan Ninen. He goes, ha, 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 you're the man, buddy, because I called him a hero. So he didn't deny it.
Oh, all right. Well, the reason I said that I thought that might not be true was because most of the time Dan just like when he gets caught, he gets embarrassed. And he kind of just like, no, I didn't do that. Or let me hear it first before I deny it or whatever.
Right.
But in that case, he got very demonstrative and he got very, you know, so I'm like, oh, well, this might actually be true. He might actually not have done something. But at this point, he hides behind these, like the Aaron Conroy thing, 100% he emailed Aaron Conroy. But what happened was we made the mistake of saying Aaron Conroy beat him in a competition, which I don't believe. I don't believe that. What happened was he saw Aaron Conroy win the competition. He decided to shit on her because he's a horrible person.
Right.
Yes, Dave George ended up beating him the week that he was in. But of course, now that he can hang his hat on this little piece of truth that takes this away from him, that's what he's doing. But there's no doubt in my mind that's Dan Ninen that wrote that email.
Well, I'm proud of us because this has been a 2-year saga, and I'm proud and I'm happy that Patrick got involved and really took it to the next level with his podcast, which is a huge following and a lot of comedy fans. It's very comedy, stand-up comedy centric. And I think that that Ninen, it won't be long for like he's like the Kaiser Soze of comedians. Like everyone will have a Ninen story. I heard Ninen did this, and some might not even be true. They might just sprout off into different directions, but they're all going to be based in some truth. And that's what you kind of lose, Dan, when you tell a lot of lies. People stop believing anything, and they start believing everything that's wrong and bad that could be said about you.
Before we continue, have you ever seen anyone so thirsty in your life? How do you get so thirsty? How do you get so dehydrated as a human?
I've never seen someone on a witness stand for 3 hours lying. So.
That's true. I mean, what are we, 93% water? So, I mean, I guess I get that, but good Lord. I mean, seriously, aside from all this joking, get yourself checked out. I mean, seriously, if you need to down that much water. By the way, he never got up to pee, so he was just basically a dry sponge that just got itself kind of just normal.
Now he's only 33 years old. You have a strong bladder at that age, Joe. So. But it was. Check out the Nobody Likes Onions. It's a fascinating look into Dan Ninen. It's very entertaining. And I think Patrick did a great job of balancing, kind of letting Dan tell his side, and then we told ours, and others chimed in with stories and things. And it's a good representation. Dan had every chance to defend himself, and. I don't think so. I don't think he did so successfully. But listen for yourself. Let's take a break. The murder mystery show happened. Talk about that. I'm about to head off to Japan tomorrow morning for 5 days. It's a horrible trip. And I believe that your son James has a crush on my girlfriend. Robin Josh, I'll be right back.
Me, a cat, moving in with a single guy. At first, I thought it might be a little weird, but turns out it's actually pretty amusing. For instance, like my human's gotten so used to me being around, sometimes I think he forgets I'm here. He'll get up for work, shower, shave, and come out with no pants. Plops right down in front of the TV. Hello, there's a lady in the room.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Hi, this is Dan Ninen, and you're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Now, we talked about a few times here, you moving in with Tawanda and I when Tawanda gets a house.
Yes.
And that would mean obviously that your kids would be over from time to time.
Sure.
And I feel like whenever James is around to Wanda, now maybe he's at the age where he's always trying to look good. He's dressing up. He's trying to look cool. And she and Tawanda likes your kids, so she talks to James. She thinks he's adorable. And I think that James senses that. I think he's got a crush on her.
Well, she's got giant boobs. I mean, of course. He's a 15-year-old boy. I mean, is that a... I mean, yes. I mean, do you think that somebody that looks like Tawanda is going to walk around? I mean, this is nothing against Tawanda. Actually, it's a compliment.
Right.
But yeah, of course. I mean, anybody that sits in the 8, 9, 10 range, he's going to have a crush on. Do you mean a crush like he thinks about her at night and he obsesses over and he plans one day to steal her from you, or he just thinks that she's hot?
Yes, that's
so do I. Oh, you think he's plotting his
entree. I think he's a good guy. He's not a bad kid. So, but you know, he's your son. So,
well, yeah, of course, that the age difference is near the same, right?
Yeah, I mean, he sees what his old man's doing. I mean, do you think he has a bigger crush on Katie or Tawanda?
I don't think he, I mean, I think since, you know, one is his dad's girlfriend.
That makes it more weird, yeah.
Yeah, it makes it taboo, right? So yeah. I haven't noticed that, but I mean, I definitely see James when there's like girls around, because like Erica has a younger sister and she's hot. Erica's my friend Erica, but she just graduated from high school. So we're only talking about like a 3-4 year age difference. And I can definitely see him trying to be cool in those situations, trying to be hilarious, trying to be smooth. I mean, he's not, but I see that.
No, I think it's adorable. But I look, if anything happens between Tawanda and I'm giving James permission to take a run at her. I got no problem with that.
If he could do it, if he can pull her away. So let me stop for a second. Robbie, I'm reading in chat. We're having audio.
Those are Patrick's fans fucking with us. They do that all the time, he said.
Patrick fans are awesome.
Now, see, Patrick's fans don't know Robbie, and he'll snap. I mean, he legit will snap. I mean, if we say, matter of fact, they don't know this, but there's a podcast on the network we're on that basically just is a synopsis of all the shows, and they're critical of our audio on that show. And Robbie wants to drive to Vermont and kill that guy. So they're doing the right thing. They're going to get to Robbie. Don't read chat. I know you. You're not going to be able to handle it.
Now, the other thing with you moving in with Tawanda and I is, you know, we've talked about whether that's a good idea or not. But there's someone else involved with the show that I believe is looking for a roommate. Would you be willing to live?
Rob, I'm sorry. I got to hang up on you. Hold on one second.
Okay, so they're right.
No. It's not. It has nothing to echo. It's the problem we were having before the show.
All right, got it.
Yeah, hello.
Continue.
There's another person connected to the show, Joe, that is looking for a roommate. Would you be willing to live with Chris Restivo?
So I'm trying to think of a circumstance where I would be willing to live with Chris Restivo. Okay, so first of all, the biggest problem with Chris Restivo is financially he's not reliable. He's had one job in his entire life. He got it, you know, basically, you know, 8 days ago. It's at Ross Dress for Less, so that can't be a highly compensated position, right?
Maybe he's getting commission. He's a good salesman.
So regardless, I can't imagine Chris would be just a great salesman. He's just moving product, right? I don't see that. So that would be concern number one, that he couldn't foot his portion of the bill. The second thing is that I can't hang around with Chris Restivo a lot, and I have a feeling that if I'm home, he's going to make sure he's home. Would you agree with that?
Yeah,
he can't go anywhere. He doesn't have a car.
Would you rather live with Chris Restivo or Dan Ninen?
Well, I guess I'd rather live with Dan Ninen, right? Because
Dan might kill you. Dan wants to murder you.
Sleep. Okay. I still pick Dan. Because Dan, he obviously has some money, right? So we probably would have a nice place, right?
Right.
He also, I'm imagining he's away a lot because he's always going to Dubai.
He won't be watching TV with you.
So I have that, right. I never have to like say, hey, what are you watching? Because I want the TV tonight to watch the Oriole game or whatever. He's always available, right?
He's probably making steak all the time. That's good.
I bet he doesn't make steak. He buys steak.
All right. Well, maybe he'll have some leftover steak he couldn't finish.
And if I could in some way, you know, get in his good graces, he's very generous to his friends.
Yeah, you get an Apple Watch out of it. What's Chris Restivo going to buy you?
Buy me a steak dinner? Yeah, Chris Restivo can't buy me anything.
Would you rather live with Robbie in Dale City or with Chris Restivo in wherever you live, Columbia, wherever it's convenient?
I mean, I have to be Robbie, right? I mean, Robbie has a real
house. Drive?
Yeah, but I have to do that. I can't live with Chris Restivo in squalor. I can't do that. I have to live with Robbie and Dale. I would hate it. But if those
let's
are my
say you're living in the exact same house you're living in now, but instead of Phil living there with you, it's Chris Restivo.
Chris Restivo just said in chat, Joe doesn't like that I drink. That's it. That's the reason that I don't want to live with
Phil.
This.
Phil Rhodes is roommate.
Is drinking. Yeah, there's no way that that Chris Restivo can put away what my current roommate puts away, but that's okay.
All right. Well, I want to tell a story about Coco Lane, the open mic where Chris Restivo is famous. And I meant to tell it last week, but nine it happened. But you've mentioned before that that my skill in life is crushing open mics, Joe. And Coco Lane is proof of that.
Joe, yes. Do you hear what I'm hearing?
Joe, are you hearing me fine?
I'm hearing you fine, but yeah, I think we're having some issues.
Okay. What do you want me to do about it?
We can't continue this way.
He's already gotten pissed off at one of Patrick's fans and banned him from the chat.
Well, did you not want me to talk? I mean,
they're just fucking with us. But literally,
no,
I can't.
Robbie, we probably are having audio issues. All right, why don't you try to disconnect and get Rob back on again, and we'll try to start the story over again.
Can you try restarting Skype, Rob?
I can do that, yes.
Tell the Coco Lane story.
So they love me at Coco Lane. So they cheer like. They really love it when I'm on stage. They're cheering for me. I'm like a celebrity there. So I go up, you know, towards the end like I normally do a couple weeks ago. And I make a little bit of banter about the girl and her cleavage. She's really hot in the front row. Her boyfriend's there. They're laughing. It's maybe like 5 seconds worth of banter. I look over and there's one girl looks pissed off. Like I like cheated on her. Like she's my girlfriend and her ex or something. I fucked her over. Never seen this girl before. She just really looks angry at me, which was weird because I didn't know. I hadn't done anything in my mind. So I said, "Are you okay? Like, why are you angry?" No, I'm fine. I'm just tell your jokes. Just attitude right off the bat. Weird. So I tell this joke. I said it was, you know, I saw the Pacquiao fight, the Mayweather fight. I paid $100 for his ripoff. You know, I just wanted to see Mayweather get his ass kicked. But, you know, I don't have to pay $100. I could get his ass kicked. I could just watch the Freddie Gray video for free. So everyone's laughing, right? There's black people, white people. Everyone's laughing. I look over at her, just pissed off, right?
Now, so describe like, this woman.
She was a young, blonde, attractive girl. She's probably in her early to mid-20s.
She's going to be the voice of reason, right?
So I'm like, now... So I say to her, "Has that offended you? Are you upset? You think the police are right? I shouldn't make fun of the police for kicking his ass. You're on their side," which I don't think that she thinks that, but I want her to think that her being offended at that joke, that's why you'd be offended, because the joke is saying that the cops beat up this guy, that they are at fault. So if you're upset at me saying that, then you are saying you're on the cop side. So that's what I'm saying to her, and she's like, "No." I'm like, "Why are you offended then?" I said, "Describe to me what offended you." She goes, "No, it just wasn't funny." I said, "So every time you see something that's not funny, you're offended. You shouldn't come to an open mic. This is the worst show ever for you. Like you see a commercial for Paul Blart and you're like, your day's ruined because it's not funny." I mean, it doesn't make sense. Like I hate when people say that it's not funny. Well, that shouldn't offend you. Offend you is if I say something offensive. So then I tell a joke. I talked about Bruce Jenner, that he got paid, or she, whatever. Bruce got paid $790,000 for that interview, but this time last year, would have gotten paid $1 million. And I purposely told that joke because that's about women inequality. People laugh, look over, she's pissed off. I'm like, "Oh, so you're upset that women, you're wrong that I say women don't get paid enough? Is that..." So now I'm just fucking with her, right? And she's still angry. No clue why.
Well, of course she's angry now. You're calling her out.
Well, but I'm calling her out and I'm purposely telling jokes that she shouldn't, there's no way to be offended by. And if you are, I want her to think that she's giving off the vibe that she thinks that the cops beat up black people and kill them and that women should get paid less. I know she doesn't, but I want her to feel like that's what she's saying to the audience. So, you know, I just keep fucking with her. crowd's loving it. And then at the end, you know, the show's over and I hear talking to people about it. And, you know, I go over and I say, all right, truce. And I go, I introduce myself and I go, nice to meet you. She goes, "Booker to me." And I'm like, all right. And she goes, I don't want to rehash it. I'm like, I'm the victim here, bitch. You're the one that was angry at me for no reason. You can't sit up front and look like you want to murder the comic and not expect him to say something, right? Joe?
Yeah, sorry. I lost you for a little bit. Go ahead.
Well, you can't be up close like that and have that look on your face and not expect me to say something.
I never understand the idea of a room that intimate and you decide you want to get, like, I wonder what she enjoys. Like, what did she think was going to happen? You know what I mean? She goes there. What was she expecting? That's what I'm wondering. But you got to remember, she also probably has the hot chick syndrome where, you know, everybody thinks she's interesting. Or she's under the impression that everybody thinks she's interesting.
Right.
She's under the impression that her point of view is important because basically she's a hot chick. And as a result, they don't know their own limitations. And that's what happened here. Now, who was she with, by the way?
Well, she was sitting with a older couple and another girl who I think was related to those two. I didn't know if she knew them or were sitting with them, but I was messing with them because they had like 20 beer bottles in front of them. You know how much they drank, and they loved me afterwards. They talked to me. I mean, I think she was mad that I made fun of this girl's cleavage. The girl was laughing. Her boyfriend was. I mean, no one was offended at all by anything because I didn't do anything offensive except for her. And it was.
Did they apologize for their friend?
No, they just came over and said that was really funny. Good job. And I felt like they gave me like a knowing, like, don't worry, she's just a bitch. But maybe that's just me.
Was there a guy there that was with her? Did she have a boyfriend there?
No, but she knew some of the regular, the people that are the young crowd that are regulars there because they were talking to her afterwards, and I feel like they know her.
You mean like
they
comics?
Were sort of they were going over there, offending me. And I mean,
she's from Ellicott City. Let's find her.
I do want to find her. I don't know. I remember her name, but I'm sure I know who she is.
Well, if she ever comes again, which she probably won't, because you ruined her experience. But let's try to get her on the show. I want to find out.
Yes, I want to get her and Russell Peters on the show. Make that happen, Rob. You mentioned the Rob and Joe Show drinking game. I had this idea. You do this thing where you'll tell a story you've told a million times, and you'll preface it by, I'm not sure if I told this story before.
Well, we've done 200 episodes. We're not allowed to forget that we've told stories. By the way, we also have new listeners.
No, I'm not. I'm not saying that you're wrong. Although I do feel, like I'm guessing you probably told some stories like five times.
Which stories have I told five times? I'm not disagreeing.
I don't know. Nothing's coming to mind. But the chat could help out with this. I know Mac's our story, and he would know.
Oh yeah, Mac will know.
But I feel like anytime you tell a story you've told before, you drink.
Okay.
Anytime Robbie snaps like he just did, you drink. Anytime I snap at Robbie or Eric the actor, you drink. Anytime maybe the Tawanda drop was played, the Tim drop or Steve-O drop.
Patrick Melton drop.
Patrick Melton drop. Anytime regulars gets mentioned, Moco Vox.
Why don't we have Mac put the game together? Make him do the work. He'll do it.
Mac could do the work, yeah. Let's just start. Yeah, we'll have Mac do everything. he's doing our 200 episode. He's deciding what we're going to have on it. Our best of year four.
Just real quick in chat, just everybody just fucking with Robbie.
Yeah, I know.
Robbie,
I can tell you're not
looking at chat. Just don't. I know you. It's like, is the show still on? I can't hear anything. You know Robbie's going to lose it. So they don't, by the way, they've literally been listening now for 40 minutes and they already get it. They already know the dynamic. They know how to get it. Where do we download the show we miss? It's awesome. I hope these audio issues get fixed. I'm going to try and refresh.
Never get
okay, the stream is down. It's great.
Tawanda, I mentioned the murder mystery show. She showed up at 5:20 for a 5 o'clock show. Maybe it's 5:15. And I stressed to her, you know, on time, off the bat, I'm at the beginning. If you miss the beginning, miss key points, you miss me. So she goes, I understand. So for the show yesterday, she showed up at 5:03. So that was her. That was her being early. That's my girlfriend.
Hey, Tawanda.
Yeah, I saw that, but actually, that was reasonable, right? Were you upset about that?
Well, it's just funny to me that, like, I wasn't upset, but it is, you know, I to me, 4:30 is when I want you there. So,
well, one of the things that bothered me a little bit about Tawanda, and I'll need to talk to her. If I live there, we're going to need to talk about this. But so we had on stage. Eric Woodworth, who, by the way, was hilarious as the doctor, but he's a little portly. So he's up there wearing a double XL. We have Tommy Zimbazzo. He's up there also wearing a very large, though Tommy looks like he's lost some weight, but still wearing a large. We have not necessarily super attractive guys wearing these shirts, T-shirts that we're trying to sell. But sitting out in the audience is my girlfriend and your girlfriend, super hot chicks who had them on, and Tawanda wouldn't come on the stage.
Well, she came up a little late and it was at the side of the stage, but Katie was there. I mean, do you need
But Tawana's got big giant boobs, and I wanted people to see that,
and you wanted to see what it looks like with black skin.
Exactly right. It was literally two completely separate looks. We follow. I follow.
Like,
hey, maybe I can look like
I'm sure James wanted a Tawanda on stage.
James wasn't there.
Yeah, I know. It was a good show, though. It was not, the numbers were not as good as last time. We expected that. But it was another successful show. The next one is June 13th at a venue. It was Bistro in Glen Burnie. Same deal, $15. Of course, we'll be plugging it as we get closer. Tawanda's friend told a funny story, and there's an update on that. Her friend got a new toilet. She's got a house. She got a new toilet. So she's getting rid of the old toilet, and she put an ad on Craigslist, free toilet, here's my address, out in the front of the lawn. Come by, pick it up, it's yours. So she gets a call from her neighbor saying that he saw some guy copping a squat on the toilet.
What time of day? That's important.
This was before the show, so it was that afternoon.
So right in the middle of the afternoon, someone came up and took a shit in a toilet.
At first, she's thinking, this is a joke. Somebody's taking a picture. But she goes to look, and there's somebody taking a shit in this toilet.
There's a turd in there.
Yes.
I like that guy who did that. Hilarious.
That guy listens to Nobody Likes Onions. But she's on her way to the show. So she's, all right. She leaves, goes to the show. In the meantime, somebody from Craigslist said they're going to come by to get the but now there's shit in the toilet. So is someone going to come by from Craigslist, see that there's shit in the toilet, say, oh, this is a joke, see what you did, fuck you, and then, like, fuck house or something? Well, she gets back, and they'd taken the toilet.
So they took it with the, what are they, I hope.
Well, they might not have opened it. Maybe just put it in the back and didn't realize it.
That's actually the best scenario for her. What was her name again?
Lisa.
Lisa, that's the best scenario for Lisa, because the alternative, now she's responsible for getting rid of that. She either has to get rid of the toilet with the shit in it.
Yeah, or clean it out.
Yeah, or clean it out, which, you know, I wouldn't do that. But let me ask you a question. Would you ever, ever take a used toilet? Would you ever do that?
No.
I don't understand. I mean, how cheap are you? That you're like, you know what, I'm going to use something someone shit in for the last 10 years.
I mean, you can get a new toilet for like $100, right?
I have no idea what a toilet costs. I've never moved into a place, or I've never lived in any place where the toilet wasn't already there. I mean, even when I got my brand spanking new apartment, they had already had toilets in there.
Yeah, I don't want to use toilet. I don't want to use mattress. I don't want that.
Yeah, but, you know, you're a guy who sells stuff on Craigslist. I remember that because...
No, we sold one couch, and I had two people come at the same time, and there was almost a fight.
Yeah, but there was a fight between you and Tawanda over the couch.
Well, we did selling it, though, and she made more money than she thought, so it had a happy ending. But that was my one experience with it.
I think everything I've ever gotten rid of with it was huge, like a piece of, like, exercise equipment, a couch or anything. I've always given it away, probably because... You know, I mean, I don't trust anybody who wants, you know, people. I think I read somewhere that, you know, there's dozens of deaths attributed to Craigslist. People just come over and just kill you.
Well, so that's why I was worried for it. Somebody comes over and they see that this guy, they're thinking that this person is fucking with me, and they're going to throw the toilet in your house. Who knows?
If I were to think who was going to kill me, I would say, you know, at the top of the list would be somebody coming to pick up a toilet, a used toilet.
Maybe this person had a toilet fetish. and they were hoping they could tell that it was a female who was getting rid of the toilet. They wanted to just get up close to it and just be weird with it. And maybe they saw the shit in it and they liked it.
Yeah, I mean, possible? That chick was pretty hot. I can understand if that's your fetish.
I don't think she has her picture on her Craigslist. She's getting rid of the toilet.
Good point.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think we're burying the lead, though. The guy who shit in it, that guy's the man.
That guy is the man.
He's the man. I mean, middle of the day, you know, it had to be, I mean, you know, I guess even if Tawanda, you know, left the time she normally leaves, it had to be 4 o'clock, right?
You mean Lisa? Yeah.
Lisa, right. So at the height of the traffic,
it was
right?
A hot day, very hot day.
When everybody's out, this guy's like, you know what? Now I don't know where she lives, high traffic area out in the country. I have no idea. But the neighbor saw. So clearly there's people that are close enough where they can look out their window. And in 100 feet is this toilet, and they see the guy doing it.
What's more likely? This was just a prank, or some guy was like, oh, my God, I have a bathroom emergency. And like, oh, it's a miracle. There's a toilet right there.
Yeah, it was an emergency.
Yeah.
How lucky that guy was.
I mean, if you had an emergency,
right?
Or it was you were going to shit your pants, and you're driving through a neighborhood that you don't know anyone. You can't go to some friend's house. I mean, I'm going to shit in that toilet.
No.
You're going to shit your pants first?
No, I'm going to go behind a tree. I'm going to look for privacy. If I'm going to pee somewhere, that's fine. But if I'm literally going to shit, I have to not be seen.
But also, I guess, this is going to get graphic, but you could tell the difference between it's a joke shit and it's emergency shit.
Yeah, you're right.
Just, you'll figure out why you could tell that, but yeah.
Did she say whether or not it was a joke shit or an emergency shit?
She didn't. I believe the story was told over us eating Mexican food. I didn't think those questions were appropriate, Joe.
You know what? This isn't really what we do, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Okay.
I think, because like whenever I see, like for example, Scott Reardon from the 98 Rock Morning Show will take a shit and he'll take a picture of it and send it to Justin and Mike Anderson.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
And I'm always like, I must not be eating enough fiber. I can't do what he can do.
What is he get?
I'm older, right?
Firm,
I mean, so maybe it's that.
Chunks?
Yeah, I mean, I don't do as well as he does. Like, mine isn't photographic.
It's not as photogenic?
Photogenic, that's the word, yes.
You don't have photogenic poop.
Yeah, I would be embarrassed for people to see it.
You think you could pick your poop out of a lineup?
Oh, hell yeah, of course I could.
It's that, it's got a tell? It's that
difference? It definitely does.
You're telling me could you tell Katie's poop?
No, we don't. I think I've told that before. Like when I was married, and I was married for 17 years, my wife never saw me take a crap, never, in the entire time.
She didn't see you. I mean,
I closed the door. And
okay, well, but she knew you were in there doing
it. She never saw me sitting. She never saw me going peeing. She never saw me going number one.
Well, I don't know. I think it's weird that people have the door open. I mean, there's a reason.
I closed the door, and it's just something, I kept super private.
It should be private. You'll see these people writing stupid columns on the internet, and it's an open relationship. You can go to the bathroom, the door, fuck that. Oh, open. That's disgusting.
Of course. Now, I never even, I don't even say the F word.
You don't say fart.
I don't say it. But clearly, that's something I don't do. Now, of course, it's 17 years. You know, that's almost unavoidable, especially while you're sleeping or whatever.
Sure.
But I went through painstaking efforts for that not to be part of our relationship either.
I mean, you're still holding on to that?
I mean, that's, so when I go back, I can hold my head up high.
you're not farting in front of Katie either.
Right, when I look and say, all right, what was my role in this? I know, at least I never did that. Can I tell you, God, I can't, we're doing fart material, but you know what my son James does? And I hate it.
What's he do?
The one, and if Tawanda finds this out, she probably won't be interested in him anymore.
Deal breaker.
Whenever we are, let's say we're arriving or we're going somewhere, right before we get out of the car, James will fart. Right before we get, I'm like, couldn't you waited 8 seconds? Literally, if you just waited 8 seconds, we would have been exposed to it and it would have just gone out into the ozone or whatever and everybody would have been good.
So is it on purpose?
He does the same thing. I just think he doesn't think. And then the same thing with the timing going the other way. He'll be outside and all of a sudden he'll get right in the car and he'll do that. And I'm like, dude, seriously. I mean, the window is a 15-second window. It's just so discourteous. So it's called jamesing someone when you do that.
Okay. Maybe he's the guy that shit in the toilet in the front yard. That's your son. Let's take a break. We'll come back with something very sad for Robbie. David Letterman is leaving the airways. Rob and Josh, I'll be right back.
There's never a shortage of errands for you to run and places you want to go. But the post office isn't one of them. Driving there, parking, waiting for a clerk, what a hassle. So use Stamps.com instead to buy and print real U.S. postage for any envelope or package using your own computer and printer. Right now, use the promo code RobinJoe for this special offer. A no-risk trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including a digital scale and $55 free postage. Go to Stamps.com today. Click on the microphone and type in RobinJoe. That's Stamps.com. Promo code RobinJoe. And now back to you, Rob and Tom.
Rob, your audio is horrible, and I don't know what to do about it.
Okay, we'll wrap it up.
Robbie, are you doing okay? I know David Letterman's your hero.
No, I'm not very happy about it.
Are you happy with the guests that he's having during his last couple weeks?
I really don't have any issue with the way he's ending the show. Some of the guests I like better than others, obviously. It's not really about the guests, although I thought Norm MacDonald's last appearance was excellent, very poignant. For me, the issue is I've been watching the show for more than half my life, and it feels like a parent is dying.
Jeez, we actually lost a parent, Robbie. It feels like that.
It really is upsetting to me.
Well, here's the deal. He's still alive. And there's, 30 years of reruns? You know what I mean? I think you're going to be okay.
No, it's not the same.
Okay, why? Explain it to me.
I think it's just, it's me feeling my age, you know, because I started watching him when I was a teenager. And now he's going away. And he's been there every single, I mean, I literally have not missed an episode almost ever. When I was living down in Georgia with the first wife, we had a VCR. There was no TiVo at the time. And I recorded Letterman every single night. And we had roommates. And one night, her roommate, they watched Raiders of the Lost Ark or some shit and used my VCR and Letterman didn't record. Next day, there was a note on the VCR, don't use my fucking VCR. And we didn't have any roommates after that.
That's hilarious. A roommate got kicked out because
He left, and then we never had roommates again after that because we realized that wasn't going to work out for me.
Did you ever see that episode that you missed?
Probably not. And
who was on? I bet you remember.
I don't.
Who was on the episode you missed?
I don't remember. It was many years ago. And I watched the primetime special, and I made my girlfriend sit there and watch it with me because I knew I would completely sit there and sit in a room alone and sob if she didn't stay in the room with me.
Doesn't that emasculate you? Wouldn't you not want her to see you do that?
That's the thing. I actually controlled myself more because she was sitting there in the room and I felt better that she was sitting there in the room. But I still was like tears in my eyes at the end, and she was like, it's okay, you'll be all right.
Because I was always think like my girlfriend, if I did that, she would not be sympathetic. She'd be like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
You're going to cry over a television show?
Yeah.
Would you give a year off the end of your life, Robbie, to have 10 more years of Letterman?
I don't think that would satiate me. I just, you know, it would just be dragging it out, prolonging the inevitable. I don't think it would make a difference. He's done. He's spent. He doesn't come to rehearsals anymore. He's done with the show. You know, I get it. But it just makes me feel sad. It makes me feel old. And you know, and then they did a CBS Sunday morning piece that TiVo picked up now. And I'm going to watch that, too. I'm going to have her sit in the room for that as well.
What makes you more upset, Letterman retiring or the NLO fans shitting on our audio? Which what makes you more upset?
I wouldn't even care about that if we weren't actually having audio issues. You know what I mean? If we weren't actually having audio issues, I would just be like, whatever. But it's annoying that the fact that Rob's Skype is actually messed up tonight.
All right. Well, let's wrap it up.
I'm saying something now, but no one can hear me. So fuck all of you. Fuck Skype.
I actually have a big show this weekend. What's his name? The guy who won Last Comic Standing. Who am I with?
Dad LaPorte? Fan.
What's his name? No. LaPorte? LaPorte?
He didn't win Last Comic Standing.
Oh, who is he?
I don't know.
Rocky LaPorte.
Rocky LaPorte?
That's it. Rocky LaPorte.
I think he might have been on Last Comic Standing. I don't think he won.
Oh. Well, Justin Schlegel and I we're in Frederick. I don't know the name of the venue, but if you go to joerobinsoncomedy.com, you can check.
And I will be at Misawa Air Base in Japan. Beat that.
Well,
later,
you can't.
Guys.
Bring our fans there.
Well, our bad audience travel.
All right. Well, that's the show, people. That's it.
I got
join
nothing
us next
to
week.
Say.
We'll have this all fixed, or Robbie will kill himself.
Preceding program was brought to you by Moore Broadcasting. For more information, visit us at morebroadcasting.com.